grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the gospel lesson for today. We continue in the gospel according to St. Matthew and follow up our lesson last week in chapter 18. We begin with Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant in verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed, someone forcing you to do something over and over again is never pleasant. Maybe some of you who are older remember with me a teacher, perhaps, who made us write on the chalkboard, I will not talk in class like 100 times. Or remember how you felt when your pastor in confirmation class made you write and memorize time after time, again and again, the passages from Holy Scripture, so that we could write them on our hearts and have easy access to them in time of temptation. What a sense of freedom comes with wanting to do something repeatedly without being forced. Nobody has to force any of us to kiss our spouse goodbye every time we leave them. We don't have to always be forced to give as pastors the blessing on God's people. I love ending our service every week by putting God's name in benediction on you as we go out to face the new week as the children of God. Where does forgiveness fit in these scenarios? Is me forgiving the person who sins against me something that God forces out of me by law so that I have to do it? Or is the forgiveness of sins something that I give freely and willingly as it flows from that forgiveness of my sins that God has given me in Jesus Christ. And what about the frequency of forgiveness? The Holy Spirit will answer those questions for us this morning from our text under the theme, O God, how great our debt to you. We see, first of all, that God has canceled our great debt. And secondly, that God's grace drives bitterness away from us. Jesus had been teaching his disciples about forgiveness. And he had recently given them the ministry of the keys, which included forgiving sins. Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant is his answer to Peter's direct question. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? And then the apostle suggested a number up to 7 times. There are 2 ways to interpret Peter's question. First of all, it might be that Peter was looking at forgiveness as being part of the law, that something he was required to do and was being forced by God to do. Realizing also that perhaps when he did that, that people would not always appreciate it and might even take advantage of it by continuing to sin against him. And if we think that Peter looked at it that way as something that is forced, then we can understand why he offered a suggestion. Well, there must be an end to it. And he likely thought that he was being rather generous by saying up to 7 times. The other way to look at it, and that's the way we're going to look at it, as we follow Martin Luther's encouragement to put the best construction on other people's words, is that Peter understood that the forgiveness of sins is gospel. And Peter wanted to forgive sins because Jesus had forgiven his. And so this was just a logical question about the nature and duration of forgiveness. That Peter understood forgiveness and wanted to be sure that he would use it correctly and use it in the duration and the frequency that Jesus was trying to get across to them. But either way, we understand it. Jesus immediately goes into one of my personal favorite extended similes, which is what a parable is. Jesus said, I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, whether you translate the Greek there 77 times or 70 times 7, Jesus is really indicating that there is no limit to forgiveness. There is no end to the forgiveness that you and I freely and willingly extend to those who have sinned against us, because there is no end, there is no limit to the forgiveness of our sins that God has given us in Jesus Christ. A king called his servant into his presence for an accounting. And this servant owed a debt that was so great that it was virtually unpayable. And for no other reason than His grace. No other reason than His compassion. And there the word means His concern for His servant that went right down to His guts. Because that's where the ancients believed were the seats of emotion. It's the same word that's used often for Jesus when the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on them. But with this deep, deep inner concern for His servant's well-being and for no other reason, the king canceled His debt. He removed the debt. He wiped it out. He took it away. It was as if that debt never existed. The master took pity on the man, canceled the debt, and let him go. Do you feel the king's grace in those words? You should. Because God is the king. The cancellation of the debt is the forgiveness of your sins and mine. Oh God, how great our debt to You. But God has canceled that great debt in Christ. God sent His Son into the world and He obeyed all the commandments as our substitute. And then He offered that holiness into death on the cross under God's wrath and punishment as full payment for our sins. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," that was the King wiping out, canceling, removing, forgetting that debt of perfect love that we owe to God and to our neighbor that we can never pay has been canceled. We owe to God that great debt of love, perfect love for Him, perfect love for one another. Never one angry word, never one selfish thought, never one hurtful act of anger would be sufficient to keep us in God's good graces. Every one of those single sins is that great unpayable debt. But now we don't have to pay it. We can't pay it because our King, our God, has canceled our debt. It is now in that freedom. It is now in that willingness that you and I go out and we run into one another out there. We run into one another in our daily lives. And sometimes we speak those hurtful words. Or sometimes they speak those hurtful words to us or hurt us with their actions or say something unkind to us. What is our response to that? How are we to treat our fellow servants who have failed to pay a debt of love to us? Well, God's grace drives bitterness away from us. The forgiven servant, going about his daily business, and he ran into a fellow servant who owed him a few bucks. And he would not cancel the debt. He refused to forgive the debt of his fellow servant as the king had forgiven his great debt. Instead, his heart was filled with bitterness. As we sang in our sermon hymn, I think bitterness is a good opposite word for forgiveness. Isn't it? We're bitter against what that person said. We have a chip on our shoulder about what they did. We carry around as a grudge those words or actions that somebody did against us. No matter how minor they were, no matter how insignificant they are in comparison to our sinning against the Holy God, But that servant in the parable refused to forgive as he had been forgiven. How often you and I are tempted to that bitterness, to carrying that chip around on our shoulder, to holding that grudge in our hearts, to hoping for the worst for that person. I believe that it is true that such bitterness, such lack of forgiveness hurts us more than it hurts the other person. And that's because such bitterness is impenitence. Such bitterness is unbelief. Such bitterness, carrying a grudge, carrying a chip on your shoulder, is rejecting the forgiveness that God has had for us in Christ. Our King has forgiven us that great debt. And what drives that debt, or rather drives that bitterness out of our hearts, is the forgiveness of our sins. It is not that if I forgive my neighbor who sins against me, then God will forgive me my debts. It is that God has already in Christ at the cross forgiven me all my debts, all my sins that I owe Him. And therefore, I can do nothing in faith other than to forgive my neighbor when he or she sins against me. Not once, not seven times, not 77 times, not 490 times, but always. Always, because that's the way God has forgiven us. If you and I do not forgive our neighbor, then we are saying to God, we don't really believe in the forgiveness that you've given us. We don't really care about it. We don't really believe it. And then our judgment will be that of the unmerciful servant when his king had him thrown into prison. If we don't forgive as we have been forgiven, then we declare ourselves apart from the body of Christ and will be cast into the outer darkness of hell. Not because we weren't forgiven, but because instead we rather decided to carry around our grudges, our bitternesses, our seeking revenge against our neighbor. Oh God, how great our debt to you. But you have canceled in Christ that great debt. And that cancellation of that debt by your grace compels me and moves me to forgive my neighbor. It drives all the bitterness and anger and revenge out of my heart. From the heart it comes. Not like a teacher standing over us, demanding that we write on the blackboard. Not like the pastor demanding us to memorize the passages. But from the heart, freely, willingly, with great concern and compassion for our neighbor, and with a deep appreciation for our own forgiveness. It is the compulsion of God's grace in Christ that causes forgiveness of sins for one another to flow freely and without limit. Amen.